by looking at pulling back. I think they realize it. And I've had considerable discussion today on 1 in 3 and have actually spoken to some people in the industry today as well. So my goal was when this gets into committee that even though discussion in committee is good, you want to sort of have a framework in my mind when you go into committee. And I think if we move 1 in 3 today after some discussion, I think we're in a good position to move a very impactful bill on this city. I mean, we've done some good work here. And so that's kind of where I've got a couple comments once we get into the specific amendments, but I think let's move on.
Okay, and so moving forward, so we'll look at the Amendment 1, which is the ODP. So Lasekia OGC, Lasekia Hodges has drafted. Have one. You got one?
Yeah.
Next one,
Page?
You want 3 or you want 1?
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Jimmy was hiding it for me.
Sounds all right.
Okay, so the pretty well what it in a short narrative. Lasekia, do you know if Public Works was going to be here?
So I was asking Dustin that, and I guess not.
All right, so
buyer beware.
All right, so in the amendment, the framework that we're giving Dustin, our procurement chief, is this is the framework for him to come in and assemble the nuts and bolts, how he wants to do it within this framework. We've moved to where there's $100,000 and above on general construction capital improvement projects to where we'll, through Dustin's discretion, in most instances, we'll be implementing this unless there's a extenuating circumstances where it will not be usable, and that's where he'll be communicating with the user between him and the department to make that call. And in that same framework, we've got the JSEB $10,000 amount. And so I've invited our JSEB director here today, and I kind of would like at this moment go ahead and open it up to you to any kind of comments, that questions that you may have that you've looked at that you would like to expound on.
Thank you. Number one, the $10,000 I think is a great number.
Yes, sir.
For our JSEB program. Looking at this further and really analyzing how many primes we have, and also collaborating with Public Works on this as well, I think from my opinion, this would be a good direction for our prime JSEBs, not subcontractors.
Okay, so continue elaborating on
JSEB
involvement.
Certainly. So the reason I say the primes is because within this program, I also analyzed how many JSEBs really historically kind of go through using the ODP from our department. And again, I just think that this is would be suitable for our prime contractors.
Okay. Now, subcontract.
Say again.
The participation on a sub as a subcontract. So you would be at a $100,000 threshold with your JSEBs.
Correct.
So you're good with that.
Yes.
All these. Okay. So J Jay, and this and we've talked, and
yep.
You know, I look forward to getting with your group to help them navigate through the ODP to see that it's definitely a way to expound on the capital opportunities here. So, all right. Any other questions? Yes.
Yes, I just want to make sure I understand the definition of the line item. So I'm thinking about from an invoice point of view, the 100,000 threshold. So if there's 100 items of $100, that's 100,000, and then we would direct purchase that because it adds up to a total of the same type line item, or is it singular components of 100,000 or more are what we're going to direct purchase?
The latter. And in fact, Councilmember Lannon, that was the purpose for the red line language. I was trying to address that. Public Works is in here. So between now and committees, I'm confident that I can get with Public Works. But that was their original concern with the draft that was circulated yesterday, that it had supplies plural.
Okay.
And so it would give the impression that it can be an aggregate amount of line items to equal the 100,000. Here, it should be separate line items for a particular supply. So if it's concrete, if that one line item is 100,000 or more, then this would kick in.
Okay.
So I'm trying to clarify this, but if there are tweaks to this by the time we get to committees, give me grace on that because I want to be able to work with Public Works.
I almost think it stands alone if you removed by line item and just kept the other language
okay.
by type, because that's what
okay,
I'm
good.
My
the intent yeah. is that Public Works will issue a purchase order for direct purchase that Dustin will sign off on a $100,000 purchase order to one vendor. It may have multiple items on it, but it's one lump sum purchase order.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. That's actually the only question I had on Amendment 1.
Okay. Yes, sir.
It was just brought to my attention, and I just want to mention it, that for this sales tax process to work well, the invoices have to be paid promptly to suppliers and such. And, you know, that's I assume that's a Public Works issue, but I wish they were here. But we just need to make sure they're aware that if these vendors are going to process these things in sales tax, they have to be paid. Okay, so hopefully that'll be reflected in the minutes, and I can bring that up in committee as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, and that's been a point of topic that I've discussed with them about it getting the purchase orders processed out the door, getting them in the door, getting it signed off on, and getting them paid.
Okay.
And in the that's what I kind of gave a little tidbit on last time is that once we can gauge and everybody's comfortable that Public Works, I really feel, is going to need an ODP specialist that will administer, follow through, and make sure everything's done in a quick, timely, efficient manner, that the savings that we have coming in will well more than justify one person to be able to execute this for us.
Well, I think that's up to the administration to recommend. And I think if assuming you're correct, and I'm sure you are, that those cost savings will justify a position, but we'll let them, if they were here today, we could make that recommendation. But that's why we have a budget.
Exactly. And we hope and feel pretty confident this is in increasing our income to our budget as well. So
sure.
Any more comment on Amendment 1? I don't know if anybody in the audience wants to. Correct, and that's pretty well the MO with the port of the Jacksonville Port Authority, Aviation Authority, the different the school board. There is basically a specialist that is focused on making sure they're not delaying the job and getting material cut off. So appreciate your input. With that, we'll move on to Amendment 3.
I didn't know that's who she was.
Okay, so... All right, so basically we've steered this to where the local is local business participation. We're looking at a value. This will be applicable to $7 million or more, and based on 40%. Now that 40% is secondary to the JSEP's 20% of whatever is evaluated and determined at that time. Now the 40%, and correct me if I'm wrong, the CKID, that's maximum, right?
Yeah, so through the chair, to the chair, the way that it reads, it's a 40% requirement for local business subcontractors. The chief does have the ability to lower that requirement to not less than 20%, which, as I understand from our JSEP administrator, is the standard requirement for JSEP contractors. So the chief could never go lower than 20%, but
correct.
It would be that range, right?
Right. He basically... procurement will be doing the local participation, monitoring that and adjusting it after what JSEP has established.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. So we want to try to achieve these marks, but in reality that there are situations that we have to adjust depending upon the scope and nature of what the project is. So
thank you. How many of these do we have in a year that are over $7 million? Can you tell me?
Not off the top of my head.
550?
Yeah, I'd say closer to 25, 30%.
Yeah.
30 total.
Okay. Help me walk through this because this is not my area of expertise. X company is bidding on a project. They know it's over $7 million. They know, I guess, going into this, that if they're outside, they're going to have to sub 40% of this to some local contractors, which I assume may cause them to submit a slightly higher bid than they would have if they could control all that. So I guess there's the potential for us not getting the best price. And I guess those local contractors know this in terms of you've got to come to me for your 40%, and will they use that ability to get a better price for themselves? I mean, just thinking through this.
Yeah. Council President. How the JSEB has done their determination for the percentage and how they establish the percentage and for primes looking for J-SEBs, how that works. I believe it's going to be something that we install for this local preference, and how that works is there is a list when they establish their percentage. So when we establish this 40%, I got to be able to provide these non-local suppliers with
a list.
A list of these local suppliers that can meet that 40% standard. As far as the price, yeah, I agree. I mean, if there's only three local vendors that I can provide them, they're going to know that.
And they have all that information when they submit the bid. So they know how many concrete people there are, how many other suppliers, correct?
Well,
yes, sir.
If I may, they will have the criteria in the specification saying that it's the local participation. Your new bid system will list out all the plan holders and all the vendors that are interested in the project that'll give them the communication bridge that they need to communicate with.
Yes, sir. So we're currently working with Oracle to make the plan holders list available in the supplier portal. So if a supplier gets an email sent to them saying, here's an opportunity to bid on this, they can click on it and see who has
right.
It's still a work in progress.
But we're not going to send out, here's your contract concrete suppliers, and they've still got to do their due diligence to recruit the best team that they can get.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Now, I think this is much better than what we started with 2 or 3 weeks ago. I can embrace this much more so than way we were excluding other counties. So don't get me wrong. I think this is a significant improvement, and that's a good.
And this is the regional concept.
Right. And this is a good compromise from where we were 3 weeks ago.
One thing I passed out to everybody, and I kind of want to go through it. You'll see a sheet here that says Fort Family, a packet that says Fort Family bid. It'd be.
Oh, yep.
This is what the city of Jacksonville put out for bid on this project, and it was May of 2021 is when it bid. If you just thumb through it on bid day.
Is this the 124? Is that?
So in this is unfortunately a typical bid that we've been putting out that I've discussed with them that we need to look at doing some changes on the way we advertise and the way we construct our bids. There's 124 bid items that has to be filled out, and that you don't get pricing on this within an hour or so before time to turn it in. It's like you got to have, 10 people working on this bid to try to get it pulled together. So I give you a comparison with St. John's County that shows 10 bid items. Basically the same structure of a park that they were doing, and that's what you have to turn in on bid day. I think Fort Family, we may have had two bidders that submitted. So I give you a bid tabulation from St. John's County, and the which is this sheet right here. The first one, Sabungi Construction, they're out of Daytona. HA Contracting, they're out of Miami. Burt Construction, which they were awarded, that they're down around Miami as well. Mayor Nasium is out of Jacksonville. And I bring this, information because St. Johns County had a local preference. And so when they bid this park, they had zero locals even bid on it. Everybody came from out of town. And it's a simpler bid that a lot of our, I guess, deterrence that we have on our bids is the way we construct them, that people, contractors, look at them and say, I'm so busy, I'm not going to put all that time into putting 124 bid items together and go bid something that's got 10 bid items. So we've got to make that road easier to attract and simpler to bid. You know, and I talked to a bunch of people that were plan holders that did not bid some of the COJ projects, and the major complaint is always it's just too involved to be able to bid it in a short period of time when you get your numbers. So that's just information to help understand where that, you know, with the local, preference that we're looking at is we get it where it's a more usable system that and will attract more all the way around in our construction. Just a little tidbit of information.
So is that why earlier when you mentioned you were at the regional council today, St. Johns County wants you to come in and kind of help them out, is just kind of clean this up to make it so you don't have it broken down by 124?
Well, you know, with what they got on their spreadsheet is basically 10 times easier than ours.
Okay.
And so that part's not problematic for them. Their part is the way they put up the roadblocks to sit here. And, you know, they attracted out-of-town bidders for this, but not every bid is the same dynamics. You take a total general contract bid like this compared to a civil project that's more specialized and certain ones are going to be able to do it, you exclude that to where you really shrink it down to St. Johns County probably has one major road builder down there that could do a big civil project, and so that is a deterrent. So not having a regional concept, I believe that's what's really shot them in the foot down there.
Thank you. I just had a few questions going back to Amendment 3 real quick. So the 40%, just so I understand, the 40% local business participation requirement, that's not saying that if we're RFPing something, two out of the five are going to be local. It's saying that if I'm the prime contractor, I'm sourcing 40% as a local business, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And is that based off the $7 million, like, is that 40% of the $7 million project price? Or, like, what is it, 40% of the people involved, the number of subcontractors? Or?
Subcontractors.
It'd be 40% of the dollar amount.
Okay,
so we're $7 million, so we're based on, $7 million. If there's whatever configuration that they can come up with, whether it's a landscaper and a mason, or if it's a plumber and a HVAC guy, whatever best scenario they can come up with to achieve whatever their dollar amount bid is, 40% of that dollar amount,
gotcha,
is what they got to achieve.
And I think I heard Ms. Hodge say it already that we probably should add language to that,
yes,
that that's 40%. Next question. I know in Amendment 2 we're going down the road of formally defining what local meant. As it stands now, do we have it defined what local means anywhere?
We do. So, Councilmember Lannon, on page 1 of Amendment 3, you see the definitions there. So for local business, we include registered JSEB pursuant to Part 6 and the other criteria that's there.
Got it. Okay. I was looking at the cheat sheet one-page version here.
Oh, yeah. So please discard that.
Okay.
And you should be looking at the longer Amendment 3. That's what's being proposed now. Sorry about that.
And then final question, $7 million. Was there a reasoning specifically behind why $7
million? Well, it's the 100,000, the 7 million, a lot of it's been arm wrestling between me and Public Works.
us.
Fair enough.
It's kind of...
compromise.
It's a compromise.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'd like it lower, you know, but so I'm that kind of guy, you know. I'll compromise.
Wait, and through the chair, just to piggyback on your question, Councilmember Landon, there was a meeting where Nina had a 3-year spreadsheet, and she was looking at all of the projects, and I think the $7 million was sort of that threshold number that she was comfortable with.
Okay. Great. Other than that one edit change, I'm good with this amendment as well.
So I do have a quick question. I'm just trying to – so it says – so for all capital improvement for all capital improvement procurements awarded to non-local businesses valued at $7 million or more, then it will be 40%. What if you're a local business and I subcontract to tons of folks outside of the area?
You know, that,
like, does that happen? I don't know.
I would say if you're local, you've already got a network of local contractors that you're going to be using to where, you know, the main intent is we're trying to keep as much revenue back into
Understood.
The city.
I just want to know if there's a concern for that.
No, I don't think there's too much of a concern. There's going to be circumstances to where we put something out for bid that there is no local that's going to be able to do it. And that's where Dustin's got the leeway to say this is what we have to go with.
And will it be after they're awarded the bid that we then – I'm not going to say spring the 40% on them. Like, let's say seven companies put in their bid. None of them get to that 40% range. Do we then say, all right, fine, we'll take you, guy from Miami, but now you got to make sure at least 40% of your subcontractors or? Whatever we are.
I'm going to do it in the manual, but that's submit a bid required to establish that 40%.
And my big question now is, we've got a lot of massive projects coming in, right? Let's say we do a deal with a certain football team. Let's say there's the Trio. Let's say there's Gateway. Let's say there's the Related Group who want to do their project across the way. Are all of them susceptible to all this language? Like, are they going to have to do 40% when they're doing Trio work or the stadium work or the Gateway work? Or?
That's a city project.
City project, yeah.
Some of those are private.
Yeah, private wouldn't
but we,
apply.
I just want to make sure that it isn't triggered by the fact that we're likely to give public dollars. Okay.
We've had a new... To arrival.
Our chief financial officer is here.
Want to introduce yourself and any comments?
Sure. My question is for
you. I would, and that goes back to some of the early conversations that we had. I think it's a good benchmark to establish, and at the procurement and with the design professionals and establishing a budget with Public Works or the user, they will be able to give Dustin some feedback to say, yes, we can get there, or we got to look at lowering the threshold just like JSEP would, but Dustin only has authority to go to the JSEP a number, and then JSET will decide their factor as well. So it's somewhat it's established as the benchmark.
It's still flexible.
Right.
Still flexible, and is it coming at a time in the process where it's not going to deter people from even wanting to submit to bid?
I can give you some documents I just went through about the project in St. John's County that has a local preference with no, it basically either you are or you ain't, and it's based on the, if you're not low, then the low local would get to get an option to take it. And where it, they bid a project down there, and all basically all four bidders that bid on it were from out of town. And it gets back to constructing the let me pass that.
I think to quickly answer your question, that's the policy discussion that we've been kind of haggling with for quite some time, right? It,
you know, it's like St. John's County does their bid based on 10 bid items. We do ours based on 124 bid items. So a lot of contractors look at, so I'm not going to waste my time trying to put something like this together, and this is more, they'll come from Miami to bid this. So I think it's the way we present it and put it out there that we can get more participation as well.
Yeah, and can I just add to Anna, just know that this amendment does contemplate reporting so that after the first year that this is enacted, you know, if Dustin sees that it's by the numbers prohibiting local people from bidding, then Councilmember Gay will file legislation, or Peluso or Council President, to say let's nix this altogether. That was the whole point. This is a pilot, and it sunsets in 2 years, so that we can get 2 years of data, you know, to sort of collect.
And they're also giving me the ability to put a good faith effort into the manual. So they don't establish that goal, they'll have to prove good faith, similar to the JSEP program.
To that point, though, so like, we do bulkhead improvements all over. I don't know how many companies it takes. Like, I assume most of that money that we appropriate is for concrete. So do you need okay, so let's say you just hire a concrete company and a, I don't even know, like when you do like a bulkhead thing, so like do you,
that's not $7 million
on the ones in the North Bank. If I'm not mistaken, I remember I thought they were getting into at least the tens. Yeah, certainly. So now it's like, do we have to now hire multiple concrete companies just to satisfy this upwards of 20%?
No, you would be, for instance, if I believe Hal Jones has our continuing contract on our marine to build bulkheads and docks and for the city, and they're doing like the markers out in the on the St. John's there at Clapboard where it's filling in there, but they're on a continuing contract. So, you know, they're local. So, you know, they would not be subjected to 40% requirement, if that makes
sense. I see. All right, so I mean, the desire, we would expect that there to be concrete companies that are local that will know, that will probably bid on.
Well, they got to get the concrete local, because they just, that's not an imported. They got to get it mixed, batched, and poured in a certain amount of minutes.
Oh, sure. I guess that makes sense. Look, I do political science. Less concrete stuff.
Okay, any more questions? Did we have any public comment? Right. It's inclusive of the JSEP. Right. And so generally what you'll see is the needle. If JSEP moves to a lower, Dustin's probably going to move to a lower. It's going to kind of, the needles will follow each other based on what.
We do work with the department and a lot of other entities. There are certain threshold requirements that when you start smaller, and once you do that,
correct,
they say no go. If you can't self-perform, then we don't want you unless we're doing some type of innovative contract methodology, whether CMAR, design build, or what have you. You become more of a construction manager than a contractor. And being a civil roadway guy, we self-perform the majority of what we do.
Right, and that's where the civil construction is kind of in a lane by itself. Of what they have to put together to get the end result, as opposed to a total general construction project. They'll have it's easier to get the multiple trades in there to achieve this.
Right, and through the chair, under the exemptions sections, also, you know, this is not meant to apply to, like, state-funded, government-funded, because you can't have a local preference, emergency purchases. And then there are certain state procurement methods like CCNA, where the state sets forth the process that we have to follow, so we can't veer from that. And so that's why we've listed those types of things as exemptions to this whole policy.
I have another random question. Sorry, I'm just, like, considering scenarios in my head. So let's say a project gets funded at $6 million. An out-of-state or an out-of-area group gets the bid. And then because of inflation and the cost of everything else, it's now gone up to $7.8 million. Are we now bound by this new requirement?
It would, and Dustin can follow up with me on this, but it's basically going to be what the number is at bid time and what the contract administered at.
I would agree
with
that, then.
You can have change orders to extend that amount, but it's not going to invoke the threshold.
Okay. All right. That actually makes sense to me. That.
Oh, okay.
Very well.
I mean, what are you saying?
Spot on.
I kind of figured. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah,
if what?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
We have direction.
Thanks, Phil.
At time of bid.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Right.
A lost nut is found twice. Is that a thing? Broken clock is right twice a day.
All right.
I've read more than that. Okay. Any other questions, concerns, input?
So is two going away?
Yes, two is going away.
Right. But I will revise.
That means three becomes two.
One and three, and we'll circulate that to all of the members prior to committees next week.
And that'll become just one amendment, a combined amendment, I assume?
I don't know. You comfortable with that? I mean,
I would leave it.
Yeah.
Let's leave it separate.
Right.
Until
okay.
we go
right.
through the debate.
Then
once on the floor, we can combine it once
yes.
we get through
we
the committees.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. They're
okay.
too distinct.
Right. All right.
All right. No further questions, and we are adjourned. Appreciate everybody coming out.
Appreciate all the work, Councilman Gay, you've done on this. You've kind of led this effort, and I think we've got a good product.
Thank you, sir. Okay, go ahead.
I know what he's talking
about. I think we can get through the committee process now pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So was the big change basically went from Duval to now Northeast Florida?